Welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rexer here at 102.5, 106.3. The game broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. I'm Joe Rexrode. Jake Lyman in today for Robbie. The Stanley Family Disney Vacation rocks on. We hope we'll have a full show today and that no one hits any power poles near the studio. Ian Safar producing. Jake, how you doing?
Doing great. Yeah, I hope we don't hear anything happen out on Murfreesboro Pike and we can actually get through the full show without an hour hiatus there.
Nice explosion out there. That was quite an ordeal. That was a lot of trucks here. We did have a full... I mean, I would have been at times, as Paul Karski was yammering yesterday, I would have preferred for that to be the time when the power went out, but it turned out okay. Ian, how you doing?
Oh, I'm great, guys. How are you today? Fantastic berserker presser yesterday, ready to hit the field, touch grass, as they say.
Thank you for embracing that. The Gonzi scheme is losing. I mean, I guess we could do like a Twitter poll or something like that for the people, but I mean, it's pretty clear, right? It's pretty clear that Berserker is a better name than Gonzi Scheme. Gonzi Scheme, good attempt by Adam Vingan, good attempt. But, yes, those guys talked yesterday, and I guess if I had to, you know, if I had to just sum the whole thing up with a theme, it's probably we're not going to be very good, folks. So this is a difference from – a year ago, not that they came out here and, you know, at this press conference and said, you know, we're going to be amazing this year. But the messaging last year, you know, leading to the results, I think made the results even worse. They're being, I'd say, very careful about putting any expectations on the stand, which they should do. I think they're doing it correctly.
Yeah, last year, I don't think anybody was coming out and saying, we're going to win the Super Bowl. Obviously, that was the clip that got taken and went viral yesterday. But I do think that last year they did set some expectations that the team was going to be competitive. I mean, you had Rand Carthon saying, we filled every single hole. Like we made a list of all the positions that we needed this offseason. We filled every single hole. There was not a lot of talk about that yesterday. They said to exercise patience, and I think that's what Titans fans are probably going to have to do this year.
Yes. Now, Big Joe did ask the question, and we'll play it later. The is this a team that's good? So he has been saying he would ask you. He says he asks it every year. I've been to a lot of Titans camps with Big Joe, and I don't remember him asking that question. But then again, you know, there's a lot of things I forget. But this is a very funny year to ask that question. I mean, of all the years to ask that question, this is a pretty funny one. Now, last year would have been funny, too. Yeah, it's probably like – I mean, it's like you could argue for probably several years. Sure. I mean, in some years in the last decade, like they're actually a contender. You know, in 2021, a lot of people thought they would make the Super Bowl. But to ask that this year, I mean, that's pretty funny. And the response was pretty much laughing at it. So, but then also like, yeah, we'll play that. That really boiled it down by Big Joe. But there were other comments about expectations along the way. Chad Brinker, who was much more verbose than Mike Borgonzi yesterday, had a comment about that. I don't know if we have that, Ian, but yeah, here's what Chad Brinker said when asked about expectations earlier in the presser.
Chad, you talked a lot about patience that's coming in. How much is this offseason fit your vision at that time, and what are reasonable expectations for this team?
Yeah, nobody wants to hear that word, patience. I get that, but the reality is we understand where we are as a roster. We got a lot of work to do, and we're going to be relying on a lot of young players this season to carry this football team, and we need those veteran players as well to help those young players grow. So there will be some challenges, but I do want to see our football team improve from day to day to week to week, to where by the end of the season, you know, we'll see what we look like, and hopefully we're healthy. This is a game; it's a war of attrition, so you got to be healthy. And there's just a lot of work to do. So it's hard to really define. You know, if you're asking me what does success look like in 2025, you know, I think that's for you guys to write about. I just want to see this team get better. And we'll go through another, you know, season this year, acquisition. You know, we got the first waiver claim. We're going to constantly be looking to upgrade this roster. You know, if guys aren't getting the job done, then we'll get guys in here that will. So the top of the roster is just as important as the bottom.
So that was Chad Brinker on expectations. I mean, he quickly got to like, and we're going to be looking for other players, and we'll get, and we got another acquisition. It almost sounded like he wished he could just fast forward to have another offseason of, you know, drafting and signing players. So, you know, want the team to get better day to day, week to week, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, look, no one goes up to these pressers and says, we should win about 9 to 11 games somewhere in there. That's what I figure, you know. No one does that. But this was definitely one of those, hey, everybody, just in case you didn't get it, like, if the bottom line is what you're worried about, you're probably going to be disappointed.
It was interesting to hear them basically say this, without saying it, this team's not going to be very good. Like, this team doesn't have a lot of star power on it. It's rare to see a team's front office just come out and say that before the year. They're not wrong. There isn't a lot of star power on this team, but rarely do you actually see the GM and whatever, the czar of football, if you want to call Chad Brinker something,
come out. I constantly forget his title.
President of football operations,
right?
Yes, because he was the president, Rand was the vice president, PIFO. all that stuff. But it's rare to hear the team actually come out and say, yeah, there aren't many stars on this team.
Yeah.
So I think Titans fans, for the most part, obviously there's the exceptions of we'll have people texting in saying this team's going to win 11 games this year. You can believe
Will we?
You can believe that if you'd like, but I think for the most part Titans fans understand this is not going to be a great year this year. There's hope that the Titans take a few steps forward. Maybe win 5, 6, 7 games, but I don't think anyone's expecting them to be a playoff team this season.
Yeah, and he did. Yeah, I'm trying to find that in the transcript. Brinker, I think it was Brinker again, too. Again, Brinker, I feel like Brinker's answers were way longer than Borgonzi's. Borgonzi was like, yeah, all right, and we want to get to training camp real fast. Okay, any more questions? Here we go. And Brinker was like, hey, let's go. Give me the microphone. But yeah,
better idea.
There we go. But he, like you said, he talked about the star power like a star rate. He did say, to paraphrase, he thinks there are some guys who could become that, right? But absolutely not wrong. Who would be a star on this team? I mean, Jeffrey
Simmons.
Would be in
he's the only one in the top 10 list on that ESPN.
You could argue Ridley just in terms of name value. Like, people know who Calvin Ridley is.
But knowing who you are and star is still a
right.
Yeah, so it's what it is. So, and I it's interesting to me, like, do people, like, are Titans fans refreshed? I mean, I heard Jared yesterday. He started his show lying about what Paul and I said on our show, which was refreshing, and I immediately texted him and said, no, we didn't say good job for having a presser. We just thought it was interesting that they had this presser with these guys before the coach. We understand that they have to be available. Jared said, I heard what I heard. So, you know, on it goes with him. But he was, I think, almost happy, excited, I don't know, pleased that they took this approach. I don't know if Titans fan. I mean, Trevor on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHigh.com, 615-737-1025, is like, woohoo, get ready for 3 to 5 wins. Yeah, but I mean, but you already knew that anyway, right, Trevor? Like, did they reveal anything yesterday? Did they break any news? Like, wait a minute, what are you guys saying? I mean, I think that everybody knows the score with this team. Who cares about this team, right?
This team went 3-14 last year, and it's not like obviously, if you have competent quarterback play last year, your team wins more games. Like, Will Levis gave away a couple of those games. So you hope that Cam Ward, just the addition of hopefully competent quarterback play, can get this team a couple of more wins. But what else did this team add this year that right now makes them a better team? Like, you added some pieces that you hope can help you in the future, like Femi Oladejo is a good project piece who hopefully grows into a starting caliber edge rusher. You brought in some young wide receivers. You made a couple of moves in free agency, like Dan Moore hopefully helps you solidify the offensive line. But outside of that, it's not like this team made a whole bunch of huge moves that is going to put them 5, 6 wins better than they were last year.
That you wouldn't think so. Yeah, I mean, the offense, I mean, if Moore and Zeitler are good adds, if, you know, then you have some player improvement that's got to be a part of it too, right?
I mean, right.
If the offensive line is not embarrassingly bad, then okay, then that's a change. That's a change in the last, you know, really the last 3 years, but especially the last 2 years. So, but yeah, they did not go out and go big ticket on anything like they did the year before with L'Jarius Sneed, and we will get to him too, by the way. So I think overall, you know, it was, I mean, there wasn't a ton. There was some news in this, and, you know, it seems like actually more than one player sort of surprised this front office here as camp gets started. So we will get into that next. The Titans having to pivot a little bit. And then, of course, like I said, we will also talk about L'Jarius Sneed. We've got Nick Suss from the Tennessean coming up at 7. And I think we're going to be able to cover. We'll cover at the end of the show. I think that's when
hopefully.
He starts, right?
Yeah.
I think he starts at 8:45.
That's what it's scheduled
what
for,
a
I believe.
Strange time, but they're going to get on the field.
Practice at 9.
They
maybe,
are touching grass today, so we should be able to carry the first few minutes of Cali today too, right before they go on the practice field. We'll be right back. Robbie Rexroy, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie Rexroy, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jake Lyman in for Robbie. So look, I'm not going to lie, Jake. We talked were we talking about Lorenzo Carter? Was that last week?
I think we brought it up.
We brought it up on Monday, yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, Lorenzo Carter. That's right. He's on the team. Yeah, that's right. Lorenzo Carter's on the team. Well, Lorenzo Carter's not on the team anymore. He has retired. He has decided to retire. This seems to be a thing. I'm sure this is one of those where it's like, well, if you paid close attention to this franchise or that franchise, you'd see other stories like this with them too. But like the player who, you know, decides, you know, as the season's about to start, you know what, I'm just not going to play. Never mind. I'm good. It seems like it happens to the Titans a fair amount.
2 years in a row now.
Yeah. And, you know, Lorenzo Carter, I mean, he's 29 years old. Is that all? He's 29. But, you know, that's what happens in this league too. I mean, the wear and tear. You can get old real fast, and 29 can be pretty old in NFL years. So Lorenzo Carter, who wasn't exactly someone I thought was, looking at a big season of production, but still a guy who has been in this league, a guy who at that position, I mean, he's been with the Falcons the last 3 years, and a guy who at his position, he was really very good player at Georgia. Yeah, you know, served a need for the Titans. He has decided to retire. So that brings, you got Levis saying, yep, going to do that shoulder surgery, and Lorenzo Carter deciding to retire. If Lorenzo Carter deciding to retire from your team hurts your team, that's probably not a good comment on your team.
It's very true. Last year, Sadiq Charles was at least in line to possibly be a starter, so that obviously was a much bigger loss when he decided to retire, and now
he wouldn't even answer like Bill Callahan's tax and stuff. He's like, nah, he just disappeared.
And he's back in the league now, right? Like, he signed somewhere.
Did he?
I think so. I think he signed somewhere a couple of weeks ago.
He's
so,
just like, I just really don't like this team.
I just really didn't want to play for the Titans.
I just like to live in Nashville, but not play for the Titans.
Yeah, he's on the Cowboys now. So,
right.
Sadiq Charles back in
Congrats,
the league
Jerry.
After a year off. We'll see if Lorenzo Carter decides to actually retire or if he just wanted to not play for the Titans. But you're right that this one, you would hope, like we were talking about whether he was even going to make the team on Monday. Jalen Harrell was kind of our conversation. So I don't think this is a huge loss. You could probably find a guy who's going to be just as productive for you as Lorenzo Carter, which maybe not productive at all on the street. So I think Borgonzi, I believe he said that they might add to that position. So I don't think this should be a huge issue for the Titans.
Here is some reaction from Berserker. I just call him Berserker. I'm not sure which one. We'll let you figure out.
Yeah, I don't know
figure
either.
Figure it out with the voice. Let's see who it is.
With Lorenzo retiring, how much pressure do you feel, or how much do you need to find another person on the?
Yeah, we feel good with the room right now. I mean, obviously, we had a Draymond. You know, we drafted Femi Ardens here. You know, there's a chance we could add somebody here at some point.
Going back to Lorenzo Carter, when did he tell you guys that he was going to retire? Were you all surprised by that?
He notified me yesterday. Yep.
When, was that a surprise to you?
Yes.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was a surprise, all right? And we don't like the surprises. That was not. I'm drifting off Mayor Quimby there. I don't know what the hell that was, but yeah. So you got the yeah. He just told us yesterday, and also Levis. So by the way, the Levis thing. I don't know what you thought. Yeah, I thought that they took the high road on that. It's been clearly reported that they're not happy. And I mean, if you read between the lines of the answers on Levis, you know, Borgonzi went through everything like, yeah, you know, could have done it last year, all this stuff. He had a second opinion, went through. I mean, I think, we have a quote on that coming later too, but clearly that one kind of, I don't know if blindsided is the right word, but it surprised them. So they're coming into camp with a team they already knew was going to struggle with some bad news.
Yeah, but the Levis thing, at least based on what I got from the answer, I think that he wasn't going to be on the team anyway. But they said that they're not looking to add to the quarterback room, which means I think these three were probably the three they thought they were going to have at the end of camp.
I think they were going
to try and trade Levis, yeah. And now you can't. And next year, coming off the shoulder surgery when teams haven't seen him in a year, probably not going to be as high of trade value. But
I don't know how high it is anyway.
I don't know how. Right, exactly.
So if you want to move him, and it just comes out like it's just you're trading him for whatever just to move him. That
right.
could still happen.
Well, Malik Willis went for a seventh last year. I think you would probably hope Levis would go for more than that, especially if a team maybe got desperate. But to me, based on what I heard, they wanted to move him, and now he's out for the year. But for Will Levis, I guess it makes sense where it's like, for him, if I'm going to go on to my next opportunity, why would I do it when I'm not 100% healthy? So I get it for Will Levis, but yeah, it sounded like Berserker was unhappy because they were going to try and move him, and now they can't. But I don't know if it affects their quarterback room that they planned on for the year.
Yeah, and look, here we go with, PK refuted this. Stilley is adamant that there was no way that Levis was going to be QB2. I don't buy that. I don't think there was anything decided. Brandon Allen is a low-level QB2.
Right.
He's not as talented as Will Levis. I can make the case for him to be QB2 as the game manager, et cetera, not a risk taker, all that stuff. But regardless, it doesn't matter now. They've lost him. So on the edge front, again, we went through the long list of experienced edges who are out there kind of waiting around. Most of them usually latch on with a team that has a pulse, has a chance to do some winning. Doesn't necessarily look, if you get a contract beyond that, like Hopkins got, the other Titans went out and paid him more than anybody else would a couple years ago, so he came to Tennessee and he had the relationship with Vrabel. But I just, you know, I don't see the Titans being compelled to go beyond market for anyone, and if that's the case, I don't see those guys being interested in coming here. If you're going to basically make the same thing somewhere, I think most people are picking a place where there's at least a chance to win some football games. All of which is to say, yeah, maybe they make an ad, but I wouldn't think it would be anything significant.
Right. I'm looking at the available pass rushers. There's actually some decent names still out there.
The name value is high.
Right.
It's the player value that you don't know.
Like Matthew Judon, Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, Jadeveon Clowney. Do we get Clowney 2.0 here in Nashville? I don't think so. I think those four names would probably
be not.
Those are the guys. They're all 32. All of those guys are going to be looking to sign with a contender, most likely.
Right.
But
unless there's it's like, oh wow, I can't pass this deal. But Titans aren't giving that kind of a deal.
Right. But you go further down the list, like Kaiser White, Jalen Reeves-Maybin, Duke Riley. Like, I could see the Titans making a move there, and that's a player who, again, kind of like a Lorenzo Carter, probably not going to get you more than a handful of sacks, if that, but a guy who can be a depth add that can maybe make the team and give you a little bit of insurance if Draymond Jones or Arden Key gets hurt, because outside of that, you don't really have a whole lot of proven talent in that room.
I think it was Brinker. He kept referring to the first waiver claim.
Right.
I think we need to start keeping an eye on which teams have the extra edge rushers that might hit. You know, someone's going to have to cut somebody. There might be somebody's four, fourth or fifth pass rusher you might want to snag. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think that's
wouldn't be surprised.
Right, and I think that's there's a better chance of something like that than going out and get one of these old guys.
I don't know. We'd have to go through some of the league, see who's
You'd like to do that, I'm here for it.
Okay. I will do that.
I will not do that.
I will try and go through some of the grades and see which players, which teams might have one or two extras to give up.
Right. I think it is safe to say, though, to Ian's point, that the 53 that come out of camp probably won't be the 53 for very long with the first waiver claim. Like, the Titans are going to take advantage of that. So the 53 who make it on cut day, I'm sure there will be some churn at the back end of that over the next couple days.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it'll change. And they all change. I mean, all these rosters churn to a certain extent. This one maybe might churn a little more than others. K-Dot on the YouTube chat says he had no idea his retirement was coming. That's right. Very good. Good job. Also, Brandon, by the way, RIP to Ozzy Osbourne. I'm glad you said that. RIP to Ozzy Osbourne. Shout out to Dave Matthews, who played Changes last night at his show in honor of his friend Ozzy Osbourne. And also, if any of you out there went to the Coldplay concert last night, let me know.
Did you go?
Oh, my God, no. My daughter asked and
her
friends.
Still going up?
No, they asked us to take them to the bridge. I'm like, dude, I'm never, ever going to go to the bridge and listen to a show.
Either
I can afford to go in or I'm going to be home. No one would take them. So they had to. Well, you know, my daughter's
worst,
like,
dad ever.
Well, my daughter's like, this, they said it's their last show. I'm like, I went to the Rolling Stones in 1994 at Spartan Stadium, and it was supposed to be their last show. Do you know how many concerts they've had? Do you know how many tours they've had since then? I mean, I was like, oh, God, got to see these old guys. Coldplay will be back. And why is this so? I mean, two tickets last night, a couple hours before the show, had
like
gone up
$1,000 total. Well,
like, the worst seat in the house was like $650 on SeatGeek. I'm like, how? How? So if you went to the show, please weigh in and let us know if it was absolutely amazing, or just whatever your analysis of it was. And also, did anybody snuggle up with anybody on the screen? I'd like to know about that too. When we come back, we're going to get into another guy on this defense who has physical issues, and the story continues on and on with him. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. All-time great song. War Pigs, Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne. Well done. How old was Ozzy?
76, I think I saw.
I mean, guy lived a life, man. The guy lived a life. Let me tell you something.
Imagine the things he's seen.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. On the text line here, driven by WilsonCunningham.com, Santa in Portland says, I'd call them the Killer Bees, Bergonzi, Brinker, Burke, Brian, and Bill. Yeah. That's fine, but
that is a lot of bees.
It's not as good as Berserker, though. But it's not good. It's not bad. Jared from Spring Hill, are y'all believers in Callahan's off-season gaming system? We'll talk about Brian Callahan and some of their comments on him later in the show. Jared says Berserker loved it. Yeah, the gaming system. I mean, I think we've talked about this before, but I don't have a strong opinion on it either way. It's fine. Coaches do this stuff. All coaches say goofy crap, and they put goofy signs up in the building. And they try things to – it's just like – I mean, look, go to – you know, it's like corporate retreats, you know, trust falls, which is, again, what the guys should have done at the Coldplay concert. It was a trust fall.
She fell, I caught her.
Exactly. We're doing – this is a – you know, this is our company outing, a trust fall. But I don't know. It's not some big issue. Some people want to make everything a big issue. I don't know that it's going to be, you know, some sweeping, you know, trend across the NFL. And I think a lot of coaches do something like this, right?
If 3 weeks from now we're getting ready for preseason games and joint practices and Brian Callahan is still talking about the 8 competitive teams, then maybe you start to question whether he's doing too much.
That might be
with
a bit much.
But in May, when it was actually going on, it's May. Like, they can do these team building exercises. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. So it's like, and those guys did talk about it yesterday, and so it's just like, okay, great, move on. There's a lot of talk about body comp. You know, a lot of the same stuff that you would expect at a press conference like this. One thing we also expected is that L'Jarius Sneed would come up, and he did. And he, of course, is on the PUP, physically unable to perform, list, along with Lloyd Cushenberry right now as camp starts. Cushenberry, everybody expected. Sneed, not necessarily. Says the healthiest he's been a while ago, and here he is. So we have clarification that this is he had the quad last year. Apparently the quad is healthy, but he had to have another knee cleanup. I mean, obviously the biggest prevailing overarching thing with him is the knee/the knees. And so he had to have a cleanup. And here he is. So this is what was said, some of what was said yesterday about L'Jarius Sneed.
You mentioned some situation. You know, this was initially a quad bruise, and he's now been out for, you know, all of last year and now lingering into this year. Why has that been so troublesome?
I mean, he did have a cleanup on his knee in May, which set him back a little bit, but he's making, you know, progress here. He's really worked hard. He's been here during the summer. So, you know, he's heading in the right direction. And like I said, we're hopeful to get him back here soon.
Guys come back from cleanups in May to be ready for the start of camp pretty regularly, if I'm not mistaken. You saw the other side of the knee in Kansas City where the Chiefs gave up on him. I mean, what's the level of concern with him being able to be a contributor for this team come September, plus with the legal issues hanging over him? How good can you reasonably feel about him at this stage?
Listen, I've keep in contact with LJ all the time. You know, he's worked really hard to get back, and I feel really confident that he's going to be back.
Can you kind of take us into what that working hard looks like? What are you seeing from him? What are the details you can give?
Well, he's continued to be here to rehab. He's been here in the summer, which he didn't have to be. But he's continued to do that, to rehab and to really work, and I've been in constant communication with him. So, you know, we feel good that, you know, he's going to be back here at some point.
Is the quad over with now? Is it all knee?
It's, yes, right now he's working his way back from the knee procedure.
So there you go. A lot, good job. Good job by the press corps. Kind of hammering on this point. And it's just, look, if you're a Titans fan, then you just got to be sick about hearing about him, really. It's like, okay, when is he on the field? Because, look, he's very important. They're paying him a lot of money. He, not long ago, was one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. We just haven't seen any of that here. We've seen a decent player for a few games last year, and then he got hurt. And the whole thing with the quad and the knee, you know, it's feasible that you can have multiple injuries. But regardless, again, the knee is the big thing. So they've clarified, we're not talking quad anymore, we're back to knee. When will he be back? Will he be missing practice? Is he, you know, does he just ramp up and try to play in the opener? I mean, it's got to be tiresome for everybody who cares about the Titans.
I would make the guess. I mean, we didn't see L'Jarius Sneed much in practice in training camp or preseason last year.
And so, 2 years ago, by the way, he barely practiced with the Chiefs and then was still one of the best corners in the league. That was part of the thing.
Right.
You know?
I think it's safe to assume you're not going to see a whole lot of L'Jarius Sneed throughout training camp. I think it's probably safe to say maybe up until after the last preseason game would be the first time we actually see him on the field regularly. I'm sure he'll come off the pup at some point during training camp and maybe work his way back in a little bit, but I don't think L'Jarius Sneed is going to be a regular practice participant throughout the season as he was in Kansas City and as he was last year before he got hurt.
Right. Now, Wes in Clarksville, and this is another thing that comes up with Sneed, he says they need to figure out a way to cut their losses with Sneed. If he does come back, he'll not be in sync with the other guys. Well, first of all, in the second part, if he comes back and he's actually healthy, he knows how to play corner. He knows coverages. He's been in this defense. I mean, being in sync with the other guys, I mean, you're playing your coverage. In some cases, you're simply just covering your guy. The in sync part of this, defense is reading and reacting, right? Offense is when you need to have that chemistry and that timing. So I don't think that's an issue. The issue is just, will he be healthy? Will he play? Can he play? And the cutting the losses, and Karski dealt with this some yesterday. Right now, the timing, the way things are going, any sort of suspension anytime soon is very unlikely. And if that's the case, financially, it's not. You do not cut your losses with Snead. You are bogged down. I'll find the numbers exactly on the dead money, but you don't do it. So the only way you do it is if you can get out of it because of a suspension.
Yeah, unless he's suspended and you can void a lot of that guaranteed money, he's going to be on the team this year. It's just the hope that he's healthy and can actually contribute. Because even when he was out there last year, like Tyreek Hill, if it wasn't for Snoop Huntley, Pro Bowler Snoop Huntley playing quarterback in that Miami game, Tyreek Hill probably would have burned L'Jarius Sneed for two long touchdowns in that game. So
that is true.
It's not like he was playing great.
It's Tyreek Hill, so he can burn anybody on the planet, but yeah.
Take it with a grain of salt. But L'Jarius Sneed, I think, has to prove that he can be the guy the Titans traded for and paid all that money. Like, I'm not going into this season expecting that if he's out there, that he automatically is going to be this lockdown cornerback. He's got to prove it this year. First, that he can stay healthy, and second, that he's actually still that kind of player that we saw a couple of years ago in Kansas City.
Yeah, and it's a question of, to me, is like, will we ever get to the point where we find out? And by the way, yeah, you know, Snead, who's got a cap number of almost, you know, 22.5 this year, you know, you're talking about let's see, dead money at this point, yeah, 23 mil. It's not happening. He's going to be on the team. He's going to be on the roster. They're not going to be able to move him. So it's just a matter of hope, the strategy of hope, that he somehow at some point emerges. You know, I mean, look, if we're looking at this team and everybody agrees they're going to be bad, I don't subscribe to the idea that that means they have to be bad next year. I think in this league, you should be able to get to decent by next year. And so if that's the case, can he be a part of that? Can he at some point figure it out and be okay and be able to play? Maybe. I wouldn't say I'm optimistic about it. Then the other side of that is just, again, like basically hoping he gets suspended so that you can, you know, financially save yourself. I think more likely it's, you know, they're gonna wait it out, and we'll see at some point if he can still play.
And we just talked about to start the show how the expectations for this team aren't very high. So L'Jarius Sneed's going to be on the team this year, and if he's good, great. That's what you're hoping for. But if he's not, you have an out after next year. I'm looking at it. You'd save $20 million against the cap with eight dead caps, so it'd save you $12 million if you cut him. So basically this year is your tryout year for L'Jarius.
Yeah. It's like, unless he gets suspended, he's around.
Yes, he's going to be on the team as long as the league doesn't interfere and his legal issues don't interfere. If he's good, great. That's what you're hoping for, and then he can be a starting cornerback next year when, again, you kind of got to be at least competitive next year, right? Like, you've got to be in the playoff mix next year or else things are not going well.
Yeah. At some point, it's, I mean, you know.
But you can cut your losses if he's not very good this year.
Mo says, would you consider Snead a leader on the defense? No. Now, if he's out there and he's playing corner like he did with the Chiefs, then he's a key guy on the defense. But I don't, you know, first of all, like if you're this unavailable, and again, it's hard to be a leader when you don't even practice, right? Like, I don't buy that he can't get out there and play, because at that position, if there's a position you can do it, it's corner. But how do you lead a defense if you're not even out there during the grind of camp and practice? You know, so I don't think so at all. But would he be one of the better players in the defense? Sure, absolutely. Weston Clarksville says, stop signing hurt players. That's a long-term Titans thing. Now, this was trading for a hurt player. So, and the guy who was part of the trade is back here dealing with the issue.
Yeah. they said it was Brinker and Borgonzi who basically worked out that whole deal. So,
yeah, or at least, yeah,
we're
very involved. Right, exactly. All right, we come back more on Berserker. And there was a nice little stretch here of various topics that came up that I just thought was told us quite a bit. So we're going to listen to that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. 102.5 The Game and Souls for Souls have teamed up for a back-to-school fundraiser. Souls for the 615 to provide new shoes for kids experiencing homelessness in Nashville. Help a child in Middle Tennessee step into the new school year with confidence by donating $20 for a new pair of athletic shoes. For more information and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Souls for the 615 is sponsored by Macero and 12 South. Go check them out for handcrafted cocktails, bold plates, great happy hour, and elevated hospitality. Welcome back in to Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jake Lyman in for Robbie. Ian Safar producing. And so I think we've done a good job, Jake, of kind of going through this presser. We will get into a little bit of some of the Brian Callahan talk later, and we will actually hear from Brian Callahan at the end of the show, too. And we're also going to hear a little snippet of love from Mike Vrabel. Oh, my goodness, is he going to have a good time with that Pats presser? You can tell he's already just absolutely loving life, tell you what. But I thought that the finish to the presser yesterday, I thought it was just really – it hit on a variety of topics, but I just thought that it told us quite a bit. And so there was one thing that we omitted, which we already played earlier, Bergonzi talking about the edge situation. But here's how we finished with a flourish with Berserker yesterday, and I just want to hit on some of these topics.
One more on Levis, please. You guys are quick to hold people out when they've got a nagging injury or anything going on at that time of year. Was he full go for you during minicamp and OTA?
Yes, he was full go.
Last three questions right here, guys.
Simple question. The team you put on the field tomorrow, can that team win the Super Bowl?
Listen, that's always the goal every year.
Yeah.
We also realize we have a lot of work to do on this roster.
Yeah, you guys think Cam Ward will show up at 5 a.m. tomorrow?
Sure he will.
Yeah.
He's been consistent. He works hard, and I think that's why the locker room really respects him, just the way he goes about his work. There's times he beats coaches into the building. There's been times where I come in pretty early, and I see him coming in too. So he's been impressive. I imagine he will be.
There you go. So, first of all, like I think of all the Levis commentary, and it was – I think Kaharsky framed that exactly right. Like, okay, so you guys talked about all the stuff and everything, and then – you know, usually if you need something like this, you don't deal with – who cares about OTAs and crap?
Yeah, in May, if you're not 100%, usually you're being held out.
If you're remotely hurt at that time of year, you don't participate. Was he full go? Yeah, he's full go. Okay, that's the most honest comment. Then, of course, we have Big Joe's moment. Again, I do need to ask Big Joe. They're going to be out there today, but, like, do you actually ask that every year? I don't remember him asking that question before, but this is a hilarious year to ask the question. Kudos to you, Big Joe. And the thing is, you need the video. Like, you need the video of that exchange to really appreciate it, because they both basically laughed, and Brinker's just like,
Well, Brinker laughs, but Borgonzi just looks at Big Joe and just gives him a death stare for like 3 seconds before he answers the question.
Yeah, and then it's like, yeah, you know, that is that goal every year, okay? My constituents, I must tell you that I'm messing up my Mayor Quimby today. But you know what I'm saying. And I really like the last one, too, because Brinker made sure that everybody knows how early he gets to work. It's like, yeah, Cam Ward shows up early sometimes, you know, even as early as me. So, yeah.
Sometimes I see him coming in when I'm already in my office.
Yeah, exactly. So good to know. But Cam Ward, of course, has gotten a lot of love for coming in early.
Beat the coaches in, but he won't. Beat
not Brinker.
Brinker.
He
that's
beat
right.
Brinker.
He can maybe beat some of the coaches, but not me.
Brinker's up at 1:30 a.m., gets his lift in, and is at the office at 2:30, man. I tell you what, just in time for the Coldplay concert to let out. I thought that was a nice little finish to the whole thing for everybody. We got a little taste of everything. But that was, especially like, you know, the Levis thing, like that was finally like a little glimpse of their feeling on how it all went down, right? Like, it's just like, yeah, you can talk this through and spin it, and yeah, you know, we knew it was possible. But let's face it, once they got to spring stuff and he participated, the expectations is he's going to be available. Whether you're right that it was 100% they were going to move him, or, I mean, I don't buy that Brandon Allen was going to be QB2 no matter what. I also don't buy that Will Levis was like legitimately competing with Cam Ward. I mean, no one thinks that, I hope. But clearly, they were surprised by this and not happy by this.
Yeah, without saying it, Brinker and Berserker, they let everybody know they were blindsided by Levis and Carter. I mean, we played the exchange earlier about Lorenzo Carter of, when did you find out? Yesterday. Were you surprised? Yes.
Yes.
So, obviously blindsided there. And then, yeah, Will Levis, they tried to tiptoe around it as much as possible. They're not going to comment on the medical situation, all that stuff. But, yeah, that answer pretty much summed it up of, was he full go? Did you have any concerns about the shoulder? Yeah, he was full go. All right.
There
enough said.
Sometimes those really short answers are the ones that really, really kind of say something. David in Paris on the text line, driven by WillsConnor.com, says, the one thing I hate about Snead is that Stillman gets to gloat about how much he was right. And then I said, right about what? About how his knees are bad. Okay, let me stop you there. This is not. I don't think Jared broke that story. I could be wrong.
No, but he's been the one saying pretty much all year that they've been trying to cover up the knee issues by saying it's a quad. That's what his...
So, yeah, the second sentence from David is he'll claim the Titans lied all along and he called it. Yeah, I mean, I can see him saying that. But, I mean, how does this prove they lied?
It doesn't, because I guess you don't know when the quad fully healed and he got the knee clean up in May. So you don't know, but, yeah, Jared's going to claim that it was always the knee. The entire time.
Did he claim that yesterday? All I heard was him lying about what Karski and I said. Did he claim that yesterday?
I'm not quite sure.
Okay. I'm going to assume he did. Yeah, I mean, this doesn't prove that they lied about the quad. It doesn't prove that the quad didn't exist or wasn't an injury, right? I mean, it demonstrates that right now the issue is a need. And we all know, of course, the bigger issue, the bigger question with him is the knee, right?
It was a little bit odd that last year they said, you know, he took a helmet to the quad in that Colts game and he finished out the game after that,
right?
And then he goes on the IR. like, does a helmet to the quad make you miss the entire rest of the season? That is a fair comment by Jared of maybe the quad was an issue for a week or two, but then they realized that the knee wasn't going to hold up the rest of the season, and at that point the season was kind of lost.
Yeah,
so they were just like, all right, take the rest of the year.
Yeah, that's possible. I mean, I don't know. I mean, NFL teams at least certainly, I mean, sometimes flat out lie and certainly sometimes fudge things with injuries. Actually, this brings me to a tweet I got yesterday by at RTP Joel, who said, your Rex rant should be about Stilley trying to claim the Titans were lying all last season about his quad injury, that it was the knee all along. Ridiculous. Well, again, I do think it's hard for me to buy that, like, they just completely out of thin air said, let's call it a quad. I mean, I guess it's possible. I doubt it. You know, but also, again, to your point, it is strange. And the quad, you know, it's right there close to the knee.
I'm sure, right? there had to be a quad issue at some point. But I think it was more...
Did they overplay what it really was?
It was probably lying...
That's probably more realistic,
it was,
right?
Lying by omission of, it's like, all right, he's out with a quad for week 6. Was he out for a quad for week 12? Yeah. Probably not.
It's like the quad, that's the injury. We can call it the quad. We cannot talk about your knee. And now, by the way, take the rest of the year for that awful / those awful knees. And
right,
then we'll see if it. And now, of course, he just got cleaned up. And like Kaharski said with the question, usually those cleanups like have you ready for camp. Why is this timed out where he's not ready? You know, I mean, the knee is certainly so. Anybody who argued that it's not the knee that's the biggest concern, that person would be wrong. But,
well, especially, didn't Snead say at some camp he was working at that he was healthy like 3 weeks ago?
As healthy as I've been, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so more fun with L'Jarius Snead. We come back, we'll have fun with Nick Suss from the Tennessee, and Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game.